Answering Objections by Linford Beachey, published by Present Truth Ministries, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus was talking to his disciples when he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Did Jesus want his disciples to recite this formula at baptisms and teach people that God is a Trinity? Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus, was obviously present when Jesus gave this command. If we want to know what Jesus meant by this command, we can trust Peter to give us the proper understanding. Let us turn to the text of Scripture where this command of Jesus was obeyed for the first time. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Here Peter instructed these people to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ rather than in three separate names. But supposing Peter temporarily forgot the command of Jesus, let us find more evidence. In Acts chapter 10, Peter commanded Cornelius and his brethren to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. From these verses, it is plain that Peter must have understood the command of Jesus differently than most Trinitarians understand it today. However, maybe Peter was alone in his understanding of his command. When Peter and John came to Samaria, they found a group of people who had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 16. Obviously, Peter was not alone in his understanding of the command of Jesus. What about Paul? Keep in mind that Paul said of the gospel he preached, "I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. How did Jesus teach Paul to baptize? When Paul visited Ephesus, he met certain brethren there who had only been baptized by John's baptism. Paul instructed them about Christ, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. There is no record in the Bible of anyone baptizing in three separate names of three individual persons. Now, there are three possibilities that could explain this. One, the disciples were in direct rebellion against Jesus and purposely disobeyed his commandment. Two, the disciples understood the command of Jesus differently than most Trinitarians understand it today. Three, Jesus never gave the command to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The most reasonable of these possibilities is choice number two. The disciples obviously understood the command of Jesus differently than most Trinitarians understand it today. The word baptized does not always mean to submerge in literal water. Let us look at it another way. Jesus commissioned us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or pneuma. Was Jesus, by making this commission, trying to teach the idea of a Trinity? If so, he would have been contradicting other statements he made, and many statements made by other Bible writers. There is nothing in the verse that says there are three persons in the Godhead. There is nothing in the verse that says, "Who is God?" The word God is completely missing from the verse. We learn elsewhere in the Bible that the one God of the Bible is the Father. Paul wrote, "To us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. The Bible uses the phrase God the Father 13 times, but it never says God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. Notice also that the verse says we are to baptize in the name of. Why is it singular if there are supposed to be three persons? The word name in the Bible often refers to a person's character. Jacob's name was changed to Israel because his character had changed. If we believe this verse to be referring to actual names of three individuals, as most Trinitarians suppose, then it would be impossible to fulfill the command. The text says to baptize in the name of. Simply reciting the statement, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," is not fulfilling the command. To baptize someone in the name of a person, we must know the person's name. It would be possible for us to baptize in the literal name of the Father, for we know his name, Yahweh or Jehovah. It would also be possible for us to baptize in the literal name of the Son, for we know his name, Jesus or Yeshua in Hebrew. But it is not possible for us to baptize someone in the literal name of the Holy Spirit, for nobody knows that name if it exists. The Father anointed his Son with his own Spirit. God said to his Son, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." John chapter 3, verse 34. As plainly shown, the Father has given his own Son his Spirit. What type of Spirit did he give? Surely it is a Holy Spirit. The Bible mentions several different types of Spirit. We read in the Bible about foul spirit, evil spirit, unclean spirit, dumb spirit, excellent spirit, humble spirit, wounded spirit, broken spirit, haughty spirit, faithful spirit, and good spirit. All these spirits are distinguishable by the adjective that describes them. We know that God, the Father, has a spirit. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. "And can that spirit be anything else or anything less than holy?" The word holy is an adjective in every case, whether in English or in Greek. Holy Spirit is not a name, but a description of the Spirit of God. Jesus was not giving a specific formula of words for the preacher to recite at a baptism. We know this because, number one, there is no record in the Bible of anyone using that formula at a baptism. Number two, all the recorded examples of people baptizing after this command was given show that it was done in the name of Jesus. See Acts chapter 2:38, Acts chapter 8, verse 16, Acts chapter 10, verse 48, and Acts chapter 19, verse 5. Number 3, the word name is singular, indicating that it has reference to the character rather than to the proper names of individuals. Number 4, it would not be possible to literally baptize in the proper name of the Holy Spirit because we have not been given that name, if such a name exists. Once we realize that Christ was commissioning his disciples to baptize into the character of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it is easier for us to understand his words. Several times in the Bible, the word baptize refers to something other than literally immersing in water. For example, long after Christ's literal baptism in water, he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Here it is obvious that Jesus was not referring to being literally immersed in water, but rather to an experience he would encounter. This experience was to be so intense that it could be described by using the word baptize, which literally means to immerse, submerge, to make overwhelmed, Strong's Greek Dictionary. Jesus used the word baptize in the same way in the following verses. He said to James and John, who had asked for high positions in heaven, "You know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Matthew chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. In these verses, Jesus used the word baptized to signify passing through an overwhelming experience. Paul used the word in this way when he wrote, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Being baptized into Christ is more than just being immersed in water, but rather indicates a complete dedication to Christ. We could look at Christ's words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 in this way, "Go ye therefore and disciple all the nations, immersing them into the name or character of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Rotherham version. This command is closely connected with the command to teach. Christ wants his disciples to understand the truth about God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Right before and immediately following his command to baptize, Jesus told us to teach all nations. What are we to teach them? Jesus said, "All things whatsoever I have commanded you." We are to teach people the same things that Jesus taught when he was here. Did Jesus ever teach that God is a Trinity? Who is God according to Jesus? Jesus said his Father is the Lord of heaven and earth. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, greater than all. John chapter 10, verse 29, and the only true God, John chapter 17, verse 3. When talking with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus told her, "You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Jesus identified God as his Father and referred to him using the singular pronoun him and the singular Greek word theos for God. According to Jesus, God is his Father. He also said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." John chapter 6, verse 29. Here Jesus spoke of God as someone other than himself, as the one who sent him into the world. Unquestionably, Jesus was referring to his Father. Jesus said to his accusers, "You seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." John chapter 8, verse 40. He continued, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." John chapter 8, verse 42. He also stated, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." John chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus recognized that the God of the Jews is his Father. He never offered any correction to the Jews on this point, but rather reinforced their understanding by every one of his statements about God. Jesus admonished, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." John chapter 14, verse 1. Again, Jesus speaks of God as someone other than himself. In his final prayer with his disciples, Jesus said to his Father, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus made it abundantly clear that there is only one God, who is his Father. Jesus did not just call him God, not even true God, but the only true God. This leaves no room for anyone else being the true God, nor does this allow for Jesus himself to be part of the only true God. He speaks of himself as separate and distinct from the only true God. Notice also that his language completely leaves out any necessity for knowing a third being. There are only two persons that it is necessary to know, God the Father and His only begotten Son. After His resurrection, His understanding about who God is did not change. He said to Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." John chapter 20, verse 17. Consistently throughout His life, Jesus taught that God is His Father and nobody else. 40 days after His resurrection, Jesus made a statement that many take to mean something opposite of what He taught His whole life. Jesus told His disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Some people take these words as evidence that Jesus was teaching that God is not one person, but three. Yet this would make Jesus' teaching in His last words on the earth something contrary to what He taught His whole life. If we are to identify who God is in this verse by comparing it with other scriptures, we would have to conclude that God is the Father in this verse. If Jesus was trying to teach us that God is a trinity of three persons in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, what are we to conclude from this? Did Jesus change His mind about who God is? Did He surprise His disciples with a new concept about God in His last conversation with them? If so, His disciples did not seem to get the message inseparably linked with Jesus' command concerning baptism is His command to teach people to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We are to teach people the same thing that Jesus taught. Jesus taught without exception that God is His Father. To take Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to mean something completely opposite of His teaching throughout His life is to disobey His command to teach people as He taught. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we see the principles of the Great Commission demonstrated. On the day of Pentecost, Peter proclaims, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Father calls or draws. John chapter 6, verse 44. Us to Christ. We are literally baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Father gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us in our Christian lives. Baptism represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It only makes sense to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for He is the one who died, not the Father or a third person called the Holy Spirit. Some have inquired, if Jesus did not want us to think that the Holy Spirit is a separate person, why did He mention the Holy Spirit in this commission? This is a good question. In Peter's instruction, he mentions repentance towards God, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus mentioned all three because it is imperative that His disciples understand what He taught about God, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. If Jesus left out the Holy Spirit in His commission, then people would likely have been left without the knowledge that Christ lives in us through His Spirit. People could be left without knowing that there is a Holy Spirit. This would be terrible. There were some disciples in the Bible who were left in this condition. When Paul was in Ephesus, he met some brethren and asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul taught them about the Holy Spirit, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. It is interesting that even though Paul taught these disciples specifically about the Holy Spirit as the element they were missing, he still baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ rather than in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus wants His church to benefit from the entire gospel, including the rich gift of His Spirit. It would be dangerous to leave people without the knowledge of the wonderful gift of God's Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 certainly does not prove a Trinity, nor does it prove that the Holy Spirit is a separate being from the Father and His Son. If we are to find proof of these doctrines in the Bible, we must look elsewhere.